Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service. Real people who understand small business. Ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm a little under the weather, Richard, as you can probably tell by the sound of my voice. But
oh, God damn, you know, you don't sound great.
Well, the last week, you're like, you sound like you got a little bit of a cold there. And I'm like, nah, you know, I'm just, you know, one of those daycare colds. Now it's full-blown sinus infection, so that's good. Oh. But I'm here, and I'm feeling good.
You know what I think is going to get a little lead in your pencil is that we have a big-time major podcast announcement. Coming
Do
up later
ever.
In the podcast. And this is big time. We've had, in the history of the Dork Podcast, we have had maybe 3 or 4, quote, big time announcements. This one might be the biggest.
Yeah, in retrospect, those big time announcements were big, but they weren't
huge.
This big.
Well, let's see. Let's take us through memory lane. We had...
There was one huge one. The huge one was the WEEI one.
Oh, yeah. We were moving to WEEI. We're going to have a new channel. That was a big podcast edition. We're going to be a part of WEEI. We were selling T-shirts. That was a big deal for a while. I think we added a couple of segments, like This Week in Dork and Pick of the Pod. So you're right. They weren't the groundbreaking. This is exciting. This is an exciting announcement, we'll call it.
Yes, very exciting.
But what we're going to do is we're going to tease it for just before the topic du jour. So if you have not seen Jessica Jones or you have no interest in Jessica Jones, that's okay. We're not going to make you listen to the entire thing, even though we would like you to. But we're going to get it to you coming up momentarily. But first, Ryan, we got to get to all the news. Well, hello. Did you see the Avengers Infinity War new trailer, Ryan?
I frame by framed it. I'm watching it. You know, I think I watched it. A Baker's Dozen, I think, is where I stopped. I had to stop myself.
You know, I only,
just so I could say on this podcast that I watched it at Baker's. I watched it at Baker's Dozen amount of times.
Right. That, of course, would be 13 for those of you lagging behind. I watched it twice. I'll be honest, just twice, because I thought they gave a couple of scenes. Like, we're already in. Like, nobody needs to see a trailer for this. But yeah, it's nice that they did, and you get to see some cool moments. But, for example, Star-Lord talking to Iron Man, that was great. I could have waited till the movie for that. Or Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, their little interplay, awesome. Also could have waited for the movie. But the expectations
and I hope they didn't burn. Like, I hope those aren't the two best jokes in the movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I really hope that they're not, too. Now, in addition to the new trailer that came out, they also had a new poster. And I had one huge problem with the poster.
What's that?
Nobody is wearing a mask or a helmet. They're all, you can see their face, almost suggesting to us that I'm going to see this movie because of Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Pratt or Chris Evans, which, all due respect to them, I like all three. They're all very good in their roles. I'm going to see this movie because it's the Avengers, it's Spider-Man, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, it's Thanos. Honestly, I could probably give two shits who the actors are.
Is that true, though? I mean, do you honestly believe that you don't care that Robert Downey Jr. is in this movie?
I think he's good, but to me, I want to see Iron Man. I don't want to see Robert Downey Jr. And I know he's done a good job as Iron Man, but to me, a snappier poster would be the Iron Man helmet, the Spider-Man mask, the Black Panther mask/helmet, whatever you want to call that. I think that looks, but that's the character. And like, they've all done a great job, some better than others, but they've all done a very good job, too great. I'm more interested in the characters, aren't you?
I'm doing the quick math in my head, and I wonder if it's something as simple as like there are more characters without masks than there are with masks.
Yeah, there might be, but like, so be it. Like, all right, Hulk doesn't have a mask, but they put him in green face still. Like it wasn't Bruce Banner on the goddamn thing, or like some of these other guys that have. They're like smaller head, like Falcon was wearing like his little like Falcon mask part, but
his little Falcon shade.
Yeah, his little thing. But like the other guys are all like, that was the big takeaway, because that poster is cool and it's just slammed with people. But you're looking at it and you're like, it's just faces. It's like a million faces.
Do you have an issue with the fact that it looks very similar to the Thor Ragnarok poster?
Yeah, it does. It does look a lot like that. But it's got to be difficult to get 30 people onto a poster, though.
Yeah, yeah. You stick with what works. You get the Tony Stark in that Christ pose there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's kind of killing it there. Now, no Ant-Man, no Wasp, again, or you can make the joke that they're there and they're very tiny, and no Hawkeye, once again.
I think Hawkeye's going to show up eventually. He has to show up.
I think they will. I think they'll make mention to them at some point, and like we'll have a reason as to why they're not there. And then, of course, Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out in July, so we'll probably have something. If nothing more than a post-credit scene, we'll have something there.
And they also came out and said that Captain Marvel is not going to be in this movie.
Yeah, that's kind of – I mean, I guess you don't really need her. Like, this thing is going to be pretty overwhelmed with characters, so.
Do we see Adam Warlock?
No.
Just throwing that out there.
I like, it's a good question. I would say we do not. Did you buy your ticket yet? Because they are now available.
I did buy my ticket. I do have a ticket. I do have a seat.
Me too. I am cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
Yes, we are.
If that makes sense.
Nips blazing.
I had to go alcoholic and
anatomically.
I got to figure out what nips I want to get. Although I'm telling you, at the this is a free plug for AMC Theaters. They have the like the little bar set up. You go get yourself a Long Island. They give you like a full shot of each thing, and it's like $10-$11. Which,
and I've warned you about that. You don't want to be that guy.
Why?
There he is. There he is.
That's true. However, if you think about it, and let's say you bring in two or three nips, and each one is like a buck minimum, right? Maybe $1.50. So you're already talking about $4, let's say, worth of nips. And then you go and buy a Coke, which even a small one is like $4. It's almost a wash.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
But, I mean, there's something nice about the nips. I still do that from time to time, but I do enjoy the Long Island, the Strong Island that they bring in.
The Strong Island,
as well. Now, this was big scuttlebutt news, Ryan. Did you happen to see Ben Affleck's back tattoo?
I did.
So this was 2 years ago. I guess somebody got a picture of it, and he was like, oh, that's not real. It's for a movie. And I think Jennifer Garner, who he was with at the time, was like, oh, yeah, that's not a real one. And then I guess recently he was at the beach, and somebody photographed him as well. And if you haven't seen this Bad Larry, it is a phoenix rising from the ashes. It takes up his entire back, and I think conservatively, it is 35 different colors.
Yeah, and you know, I am not going to be a person who throws stones here, Richard. As someone with an embarrassing back tattoo myself, I am not going to throw stones here. I'm just going to let this one go and be like, hey, man, you do you. It's not a great choice, but it's there. It happens.
See,
so just leave that. I'm going to leave that where it is. I'll let you take this one.
No, you know what? And so I have two back tattoos, and some people would probably say, those are dumb. What'd you get them for? Whatever. I don't care. I like them. And so I'm with you on that sense. If Ben Affleck likes his rising phoenix that looks like a box of crayons threw up on it, then God bless him. I'm with you. It's his goddamn back. What do you care about it? I would never rip. The only time I rip people for bad tattoos is like face and neck bad ones. I can't stand a face tattoo. It's just not for me. Maybe if you're listening to this, you have a face tattoo. I'm sure it's very nice, but that part is not for me. But everywhere else, screw it. Like it's not on you. What do you care so much?
Yeah, it's my life, man. Like even Bon Jovi says that.
Yeah. So how many total tattoos do you have?
Five.
How many are you proud of?
Proud of is a
well, I couldn't think of a better word. So you can
four. There's one that I don't want to talk about this anymore because right. I think we're going to go down a road that it's going to embarrass me forever. You don't get embarrassed, but I do.
I don't. When this came up on the air the other day, and they were like, we were actually talking about the Ben Affleck tattoo, and so
they were
like, hey, do you have any tattoos? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, what are they? And so I explained what they were, and I'm just like, I'm just waiting for the people to be like, oh, yeah, let's see a picture of him, you weirdo. Let's take a look at it.
I don't want to get into that.
I'm like, I don't care, man. Like, this is what it is. And so I'll admit, one of mine, and I only have two, but one of them I got in college. I didn't really care who did it, and so I still have no problem with it, but it's not as, like, detailed as the other one. Like, the other one I think is sweet looking, but the other one is like, yeah, that looks like a kid who was 18 and got it. Which, again, I don't care. But anyway, so we're moving on to tattoos. Davey's getting uncomfortable. That's fine. Did you see the Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald trailer?
I didn't.
I'm actually excited about this. I didn't think I would be, and neither one of us are real potheads in the dork world.
No.
But I'll tell you, this movie comes out November 16th. I enjoyed Fantastic Beasts and Where Are They? Come Get Them. I think this one's going to be pretty good too. I'm excited.
Yeah, you know what? I liked it. I liked that movie. I think Eddie Redmayne was awesome in that movie.
He was. Yeah.
The Boxers podcast actually pointed out something that I didn't notice, and I actually watched it a second time after listening to them. In that Eddie Redmayne, until the very end of the movie, he never makes eye contact with another person. Do you know?
Oh, that actually makes a lot of sense now that they say it. You know,
they said it, and I'm like, I wanted to see if it was throughout the whole movie, and he really doesn't. He like doesn't look at anybody directly in the face.
That was good. Now this next one, I mean, Johnny Depp, kind of a polarizing cat. I wonder how he's going to be in the upcoming.
Yeah, he's turning heel in this one, huh?
Yeah,
so we'll see.
Full heel. Now this is exciting news. You pointed this out. I think we tweeted it out at Dork Podcast. Devil's Rejects 2, Three from Hell is currently filming.
You're excited. How excited are you?
I am.
Speaking of lead in your pencil.
I am feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good about that. And so we'll see what they do with that.
Like a Halloween release, probably?
No idea. No, if they're filming it now, I mean, maybe next Halloween. I don't know when they're going to do it, but
they could probably wrap up filming next week, probably.
Start getting
their budget.
Finishing touches on this, and then they're good to go. All right, are you ready for your portion of the program?
Yeah, let's hit it.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you got, sir?
Well, the biggest news coming out of video games this week is that Ninja, the very famous Fortnite player, played Fortnite with Drake.
Yes, he did.
And almost broke Twitch. So that, I mean, it was this huge thing, and he had, get this, 628,000 concurrent viewers.
Oh,
shattering
my God.
The old record of 388,000.
Which was held by you and Mac.
Yes. No, it was a guy named Dr. Disrespect, who's another famous Twitcher.
That's pretty good.
But it's crazy that, like, you know, this has become so mainstream that, you know, people logged on to Twitch just to listen to Drake play video games.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
For, like, the first, like, 10 minutes, like, his mic didn't work, so then he finally fixed it. But it was crazy. And then the next night, he played Fortnite with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, of the Steelers. I saw that.
Which was super, super funny. And he actually called Ninja, who is a small white kid. He called him the N-word a couple times.
Oh, boy.
So that was pretty, like soft. Not a hard one, but like a, you know, soft one. One time he asked him for some Band-Aids.
Is that allowed?
And started laughing at him.
On Twitch, can you do that?
What's that?
I don't think you should be throwing around that kind of language on Twitch. Is that
you probably shouldn't, but no. It's Juju. So Juju does what Juju does.
Yeah, Juju was able to get away with it. That's true.
So they had this huge interview with this kid, and they're talking to him on CNBC and all this stuff, and it turns out he's making, get this, Richard, $500,000 a month playing video games.
No. What?
$500,000 a month.
So he's making $6 million a year to play video games?
Yeah. So he's tied in now with Amazon, and he's tied in. He's a partner with Twitch. So he's getting, like, all of this, like, sponsorships and, like all these things that he gets paid, like, per viewer and all
so
that stuff.
So is he really, really good at games, or is he just kind of entertaining?
He's both. I mean, he's really good at Fortnite. Like,
yeah.
I would say 70% of the games he plays, he wins. Like, if you ever watched him play, he wins all the time.
Holy smokes.
One of the coolest things about this cat is he's married. He's in his 20s, but he's, you know, he tells his story, and the lady on CNBC was actually, like, really condescending to him. They're like, oh, how'd you get your parents to get on board with this? And he's like, I'm actually married, and, you know, I went to college, and my parents said I couldn't, you know, I had to do X, Y, and Z in order to do this, and so I'm very responsible and take care of myself. And, well,
like, shove that up your tailpipe.
He was, like, super condescending about it, like, you know, because gamers are just people who live in their parents' basement.
They're all losers, apparently. Yeah. They're creeps and losers, every one of them.
So it's actually really cool to listen to him talk about it and things like that, but the fact that this kid's making this much money, and, you know, and if you go on Twitch, he's on there all the time. Like, he twitches, he streams all day.
That's pretty good.
And I've never seen him. Yeah, and I've never seen him have less than, like, 80,000 people watching him.
That's nuts.
It's nuts.
That's wild.
So that's better than some TV shows, but.
That is. Yeah, whatever. It absolutely is. Jesus.
So the other news that I have right now, and we'll get into the good stuff, the Atari box is a real thing. I don't know if you've heard about this, but Atari came out with this concept console that kind of looks like an old Atari with an updated controller and all this stuff, and they were taking pre-sales for it and then stopped. But it turns out that the game is going to be shown this month, and it's going to be shown at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. It's going to be anywhere from $250 to $300, which sounds like a lot.
Yeah,
but what it does is it's a retro console like the other ones where you can play all of the old Atari games, including E.T.
Oh.
Including E.T.
Wow. You
I don't know why
that.
You would ever want to play that.
No, you wouldn't. Just say you did.
It also has a Linux-based OS that will play modern PC games as well.
Okay, so it's not you're not just playing it for the Atari.
You're not just playing it for the Atari, but it's Atari's new kind of crossover console that they're going to be unveiling this week.
All right. Not bad.
So there's that. So there's my video game minute.
Well, I hope you're sitting down, Ryan, because right now, and I hope all the listeners are sitting down as well, because right now we have maybe the biggest announcement in the history of hashtag Dork. Are you ready?
Do we have to play this? Do we get to play the sounder?
Oh, do we have
a sounder for this?
Oh yeah, we kind of do. Yeah, this counts.
Now a hashtag Dork news flash.
That's right. Hashtag Dork is teaming up with Idle Hands Brewery in Malden, Massachusetts to bring you a live taping of Hashtag Dork. That is right. If you are in the Boston area, get your sweet ass to Idle Hands on Sunday, April 22nd. We're going to start around 4 p.m. And not only that, but this is going to be a mega pod. This is going to be our Infinity War preview pod featuring Mac and Goo, the Boxers, and Uncle Buck. They've all been invited. I assume they're all in. We are going to have to wait and see, I guess. But we might have this mega shared universe podcast to talk about the ultimate shared universe from Marvel. Again, Sunday, April 22nd. Come say what's up to us. Have a couple beers. Listen in on the podcast. Maybe even get in on a question and answer segment at the end. But show up to Idle Hands. Again, in Malden, 4 o'clock, April 22nd. We will remind you every episode between now and then. But I'm excited about this. Should be a lot of fun. Good chance to meet some of the listeners and just sort of maybe get ourselves out there and you know, maybe promote the podcast that way as well.
It was actually really funny. I was talking to Marcus from the Boxers podcast the other day. We had spitballed this idea for a really long time and didn't mention it because we didn't know if it was possible, like, at all. Like, if anyone would have us, if we could find a place, if we would have to pay for it or whatever. And the people at Idle Hands have been really great to us. But I was talking to Marcus, and, you know, he's like, well, how many people do you think you're going to show up? And I said, you know, the issue with me doing this remotely like me doing this in another state as you, Richard, is
yes.
that I have no idea.
Oh, I've
I have no idea how many people are going to show up to this thing.
Well, I figure there's you, there's me, there's Mac, there's Goo, there's Marcus, there's Wes, there's Uncle Buck. So
yeah.
I'm going minimum seven, maximum undisclosed.
Undisclosed. Like I no, but like honestly, I have this podcast does not exist to me outside of this. So
yeah,
nobody gives a shit here that I do it. So
I have no idea. I have run into people in the street. It was like that know hashtag dork. So I'm hopeful that there'll be some people there. I think it'll be a cool thing. Maybe it'll lead to more of them, or maybe it'll just shut it down. Maybe it'll be so embarrassing, and they'll be like, "Hey, where are the people that you said were going to come?" And I'll say, "I didn't promise you anything. We're here. We'll buy our beers, and we'll show ourselves out." Also, I'm going to go ahead and thank. Even he hasn't done it yet. But I'm already going to thank Goo for Mac and Goo, because without him, we wouldn't be able to do it. He's basically going to pack up the Mac and Goodio and then set it up at Idle Hands. So he's going to engineer and produce this bad boy, and he's going to be on mic. So it should be a pretty chaotic episode, but we're looking forward to it.
And I would just like to say that anybody who does show up, if you do get a look at me, I will tell you that like I'm disappointed too. in what I look like.
No, so. Ryan, no, don't say that. You look great. You promised to show everybody your tattoos. And...
No, not all of them.
All right, but it'll be a good chance for us to wear our dork merchandise in public.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's that. Hopefully that was not a disappointment in the... save the date right now. I'm sending a save the date to everybody through the podcast. April 22nd, 4 o'clock, Idle Hands, hashtag dork, Triforce in the house, breaking down Infinity War.
Please come. It'll be awesome. It'll be really fun.
Yes. Promise. We promise. Because there's beer there. So worst case scenario, you just have a bunch of beers and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Are you now ready, Ryan, for the topic du jour?
I forget what that was, Rich.
It's the topic of the day. And today, it is Jessica Jones Season 2, 13 episodes on Netflix. It was released earlier on this month. We have seen all of the episodes from now. We'll start with non-spoilers before we get to spoilers. As we do with all of these movie and TV reviews, I ask you quite simply, Ryan, did you like it?
Not really.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. Now, you and I, full disclosure, out of all of the Netflix series, Jessica Jones Season 1 was both of our favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great.
This was not... So this was, I'm with you. This was, I was wondering if we, as I'm watching, I'm like, should we even do a standalone episode? But then I said, you know what? Might as well be consistent here. Even if it's not good, we should probably talk about it and why it isn't good. So I'm with you. I did not really like it either. So give me some quick responses. It doesn't have to be one word, but it can be short, sweet, and to the point on
okay.
all of these different things from the series. What did you think of the story?
I thought it was too shotgun. Like they went. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a weird spread of, like, main story and, like, side stories.
Yeah, I would say it was missing something. Like, it was missing,
yeah.
like, the main thing.
I know exactly what it was missing, and we'll get to it later.
Yes. What did you think of the acting?
A little rigid. I thought everybody, like, kind of, I thought the main actors just kind of mailed
yeah.
it in at times.
I also thought it was not the actors or actresses' fault, but there was a few scenes with wigs that were very distracting.
Yes.
So that's not on them, but it was like that didn't help. What did you think of the action / fight scenes?
The worst part of the show.
There weren't many of them either.
And we'll get into that later, but they're I'll get into it later,
so
but not great. Not great.
Think about Daredevil Season 1. Think about the Punisher standalone season. That had some of the best action scenes that I think you've seen in like TV and in the Marvel Universe, which again I put that in quotes because that's what really grinds my gears is the if it really is a universe at all. But this, you're looking around, you're like, were there action scenes? There may have been more sex scenes than there were fight scenes.
And this is I'm glad you brought that up because this is the very first show that I've ever seen where I skipped the sex scenes.
They were not great,
and they were just weird and like awkward. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they were uncomfortable. And I think one of them was maybe supposed to be, but the other ones I don't think were. Anyway, what did you think of the humor?
Was there any humor in this show?
No.
What humor?
I don't remember any. I mean, well, Jessica Jones is just overall kind of smarmy attitude at times can lead to like a little like, you know, like she says something like, you know, rip it on somebody and just kind of chuckle. But there really isn't a lot of.
But even then, like, I felt like her insults were the script was not great. Like they get into it more later, but like there were like weird quips that she would say that you're just like, it's supposed to be like this hard boiled detective story, but it's not, it doesn't work.
No, I think
it didn't work for me.
No, I'm with you. I think I can already tell the answer to this, but what do you think of the, what would be the rewatchability of this?
I would rewatch one episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, and like, all of these Netflix series, or the Marvel, with the exception of the Defenders, they've all been 13 episodes, and even the really good ones could shave an episode or two off. Like, they should all be 10 or less, and this is right there with it. I mean, it could be a lot less. So, where would you rank it? Again, we've had Daredevil 1 and 2, we've had Jessica Jones 1, Luke Cage 1, Iron Fist 1, and Defenders 1.
So I would put this, and this is no word of a lie, I'm not exaggerating, I would put this, it's better than Iron Fist.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah, we agree. We definitely agree. Because I was thinking back, the Defenders wasn't great, and Luke Cage was not great, but Luke Cage was probably good. Like, it was
Luke Cage was good.
Solid.
It was entertaining. It had a terrible villain.
Yeah.
And I would say that the Defenders, the reason that it's worse than the Defenders is the Defenders had everybody, so like even if the episode was dragging a little bit, you could have someone kind of like pull it along.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it was 8 episodes, which helps.
Right.
So I'm with you. This is the not the worst because of Iron Fist, but if you throw that one out, it would be. So is there anything else non-spoiler that you think we can hit on, or should we just get into the spoilers? I don't even know if people care, to be honest. This was not a very good show.
No. Let's just get to the spoilers.
All right, spoilers. So give me, in your mind, the best part or parts and the worst part or parts. Start with the
best. Are we into spoilers?
Yeah, we're into spoilers.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Oh, you're right.
You didn't hit the thing. That's why I didn't know.
God damn it.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
We are now officially into spoilers.
We're into spoilers. Okay, we'll fix that in post.
We sure will.
Like you said, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think this is a four episode miniseries that they stretched into 13 episodes.
Yeah.
And I would say the worst part of the show, like everyone's kind of side story, like Hogarth's side story is just completely inconsequential. What happens to her in the beginning is she's diagnosed with ALS, right?
Which, by the way, let me just jump in and say, I think obviously, especially in New England, like we have more knowledge of ALS maybe than everywhere else. I mean, with what Pete Frates has done and how the Ice Bucket Challenge has really taken off, but it still affects such a small percentage. And I think, you know, most of these shows usually just go to cancer. This person has cancer,
right.
And then that's what it is, and everybody can relate to that. But I thought it was pretty remarkable that they identified it as ALS. I think Hogarth even mentions the Ice Bucket Challenge at one point later on. But I was like, man, like obviously it's a sad, it's a horrible disease, and it's a sad storyline in this thing. But I thought bringing awareness to ALS, I was pretty intrigued by that.
No, that's good. And the other thing too is that, you know, for someone who's as calculated as her, you don't know. Like, you don't know how fast it's progressing. You don't know how long you have. Like, some people last years. And
right.
Some people last month with this
Correct.
Disease. So
right.
it's pretty scary. And, you know, something you said as New Englanders, we are very familiar with, thankfully, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, but that if you look at that, at the beginning of that, you know, episode one, I believe they introduced that.
Yeah, it's one or two. I mean, you find out pretty early on that's what she has.
And then the whole middle, like 10 episodes, like, it really doesn't matter until the very end.
Right.
With her, with Inez and the boyfriend and all that stuff like that. That whole side story was useless.
Yeah.
And similarly, the only side story that I actually cared about was her associate there, whose name I'm drawing a blank
Malcolm.
On. Malcolm. Malcolm. I really liked that, his kind of
I did.
Evolution there.
I liked Malcolm's path there. I thought there was some good stuff there. He was a good. I liked him more. Now, obviously, in the first season, he was, you know, brainwashed and addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
But I liked him a lot more this season. I thought he was good.
And I wound up hating Trish.
Yeah, man. So it's weird. Like, so best part, worst part, I look at it, it's some of them are that one and the same. And in the sense that, like, so Trish Walker is Hellcat in the comics. And
right.
We really see that play out during the season. So that was one of the best things to me is, like, you're setting up another hero. And, like, all the stuff that she wants to be a hero, all of that is great. But then most of the stuff, including some of the flashback scenes, like, she just ended up being kind of a terrible character. So you're like, did you need to make her so bad in order to get the transformation into Hellcat? And then the other obvious kind of best and worst part was in episode 11.
Yeah.
So you're fighting through the slog. They finally bring you Kilgrave. Now, Kilgrave's obviously dead, but he is in Jessica Jones's mind. Why was he not in the first 10 episodes, and why was he not in the episodes after that? And I understand, scheduling or whatever else. But honestly, didn't it get the feel of a show that was like a weekly show and was doing shit and was getting bad reviews, and then they're like, we got to bring back David Tennant. We got to get him back. And then they do for a one-off. You're like, this is great. You're getting inside her head. She still sees him. Like, this is affecting her. But then he's gone. So, like,
And it's as simple as, like, a throwaway line at the end. She's like, I don't need you anymore. And he's like, okay, bye.
See you later. He's like, what was
like,
that?
What?
And she clearly, like, right away, like, in episode one, she's talking about how she's not a killer. So she's obviously still hung up, as anybody would be, I suppose, of killing Purple Man. But then he's not in there at all. And then he is. And it reminded me of Arkham Knight, where in the video game Arkham Knight, Batman sees Joker. Like, Joker's dead, so you don't have to fight Joker. But he sees him in his head, and it's awesome. Like, you have some of the best. Like, she's having a conversation with him. Nobody else can see him. That's great. Why just one episode of that? That was insane to me.
And I think this, and when you said, like, what is the big problem with this show, the problem was that there was no fucking villain.
I was going to ask you, who was the villain?
There wasn't one. Like, there wasn't a main, clear focus. And I think why we liked Jessica Jones the season one was it had probably the best villain out of any of these shows.
Yeah, I thought so. Definitely did.
And what you miss here is, like, this whole thing with, like, this, like, the victim's mentality and PTSD and anxiety and, like, all these things that come from being a victim of abuse is, you know, and put that in, like, a superhero spin. Like, that was so cool and so new and so fresh and so intriguing, and then you just take it out of the show completely, except for one episode. And all that episode did, like you said, is it made me be like, well, why didn't you just do that the whole time?
Yeah, just really, it ended up frustrating me more. Like, I was like, oh, I needed to wait 10 hours to get to this, and then you're going to punt on it after. And then I guess, so a very simple question of who the villain is, I think one answer might be Jessica's mother. And then I would ask, what was her name? And, like, if you can't even tell me her name, then it's not a true villain. Like, she played maybe the villain in a number of the episodes, and it's a conflicted villain or whatever. And, like, that's fine. Like, they don't need to be cut and dry villains. Trust me. It doesn't need to be somebody who's, I'm here to take over the world. But that's also kind of a lame-ass angle, isn't it? Like, you thought your family was dead? Psych, not dead. She's here. And guess what? She's got the same powers as you. I was like, that is tired and lame.
It's so lame. Like, and like I said, I put a tweet out yesterday. Was like that, and they don't reveal that until like episode like 7 or 8. But you knew the whole time.
Yeah,
like in my head, like you've telegraphed this thing the whole time. Like, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. So then when it does pay off, you're like, yeah, I know.
Just brutal. Like, and so, all right, so some of the other things.
Her name's Alyssa, by the way. I know that because I keep thinking that, and this is my sinus infection talking, but I thought they kept saying Melissa, and then I get.
They might as well have. Yeah.
It's Alyssa. Yeah.
Alyssa. Great. So she's the mom. Her wig was kind of killing me for a while. Trish's wigs, when during the flashback, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't
but
stop.
I feel like the Mrs. Jones, Alyssa Jones, they kept switching the wig.
Yeah, they did. But at least she really was wearing a wig, like, in the new scenes. Like, and, the flashback scenes, she wasn't supposed to be. But these ones, she clearly was after the accident. But
and you know what's got me to? Rachel Taylor, who plays Trish.
Yeah.
She's Australian.
Right.
And you are very aware that she's trying to do an American accent.
Oh, yeah. This season, even more than last season. Like, the way she talks, like, it's a... So it was like a workout sometimes for her to like get the word done. So some of the MCU and other Netflix connections that I picked up on, because this is the kind of shit that we love with shared universes. But pretty early on, Hogarth references Rand as being a client. So like, okay, they're you know, continuing that. Foggy shows up, so I like that. Foggy's working for
30 seconds.
Fine.
30 seconds, he's in the show.
But it's better than 0 seconds. And let's be honest, you don't need him for very long.
No.
Right? I mean, Foggy's kind of lame.
Like, he comes in, Hogarth yells at him, and then he leaves.
That was it. But at least at least it's like, okay, you're acknowledging that this universe is connected, because there was no Daredevil, there was no Luke Cage, there was no Iron Fist, with the exception of mentioning Rand because of her client base.
But, like, if in the, and this would bug me, because there were opportunities to do that. Like, Trish, like, says, like, you know, she has that boyfriend, fiance, whatever, who's, like, this investigative journalist,
Griffin.
And she says something like, you know, that's who I want it to be.
Right.
And wouldn't it have made sense for it to be like, I wanted to be like him or like a Karen Page?
Right. Something.
Like, that's all you had to do.
Didn't go there. Did not go there.
Didn't go there.
Now, they did. This is one of the best connections so far, is I think in 3 or 4 of the episodes, they referenced the Raft, the prison from Civil War. And so, like, that's where they wanted to send Jessica's mother. So, like, that's a really good direct tie-in. So I like the Raft.
And the only other one I would say is what's it, Vito, the boyfriend's kid.
Yeah,
he takes a Captain America doll with him wherever he goes.
He has a Captain America doll, and it also had a broken shield, or like he lost his shield or whatever. Which I would say is kind of a bullshit reference, because it's you don't need to. So what, the kid knows that he lost his shield, or like he just lost his shield? And they're like, see, like that's what's going on in the movies. It's like, like you
remember
all,
that?
You're all in the same universe. Like you could actually bring Captain America in, for God's sakes, if you really wanted to. But anyway, you're right. He had the toy. There was also Stan Lee he was on a poster on a bus, so he continues to be in everything. And there was also the part where Jessica, she mentions something about like an old pairing, and like the last time, you know, I formed up with somebody, like somebody died. So I don't know if she's referring to Kilgrave there, or if she was referring to like if she thinks Daredevil's dead, or what's going on. I don't know.
There's one more. When the first time that Jessica went in to be asked about her mother killing somebody, remember she was under, they thought it was her.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She said I wasn't even there. And then the lady cop says, "Well, I know how you people like to work in teams."
Yeah, so there's like a couple of shit references to the Defenders.
She's like, "What do you mean, you people?" Which was, you know, pretty funny.
But. Yeah, that was also good. All right, so I did I have a couple of comments on each episode, but we'll rip through this. So this won't be boring for people. So episode one, called AKA Start at the Beginning, you're introduced to the super that lives down the hall now, and his name is Oscar, and he is one of the worst actors I've ever seen.
And he is a master forger of passports, which he can turn over in, like, a day's time. And, like, how many opportunities, like, that's what pissed me off about him. Like, how often do you have to fake a passport? And I feel like they did it, like, 5 times.
Yeah, there was some passport. I mean, when you have a skill like that, you better utilize it. But I just thought, like, the way he talked, I'm like, this guy sucks. This guy is awful as an actor.
Yeah, he wasn't the worst actor in the show, but he was pretty bad.
He was up there. How about them dropping in the Whizzer?
Which, what the fuck? Like, here's another thing that pissed me off. Like, it's not a big budget, like, Marvel movie, but it's still Marvel. It's still Disney. Like, you have money. Spend some fucking money on visual effects.
Yeah.
Like, you remember the Whizzer actually, like, running?
Yeah, it was not,
like,
great.
It looked so stupid. And not only that, but, like, I don't know. I just thought that was the lamest thing ever, because in the end, it made no difference. He dies.
Yeah,
he scaffolding
does.
Falls on him.
Right, he's dead.
And that's never explained how that happened.
Whizzer's dead, and he's like from the golden age of comics. And apparently, he was created, like, there was like a blood transfusion with like a mongoose or something like that. And so that's why he has a pet mongoose. It's a whole thing.
But, like, it was frustrating to me because, first of all, that was, like, super lame.
Yeah.
That you just, like, and he can only run fast when he's scared.
Yeah, he's a fear-based hero.
Which is, that's the stupidest thing ever.
Now, also, when she's going through and interviewing people at the beginning, and so including the Whizzer, there's also that lady who mentions lizard people.
Yeah.
So that could be a reference to the Skrulls.
Yes.
Potentially. Maybe. So maybe we'll have that down the road. Because I think Captain Marvel, the movie, is going to deal with Skrulls. So maybe that'll make more sense later on. Also in this episode, Jessica, early in the morning, drinks like a ton of Red Bull. Like 5 Red Bulls in a row.
Yeah, that ain't good for you.
I felt like that was a little much. We also get introduced to Griffin Sinclair, who Trish is with. Also, Trish brings Jessica Jones's family's ashes over to her house, which was certainly something.
Don't know how that's possible. Why she didn't have them in the first place. Like, why does Trish have those?
I don't know. Episode 2.
She's like, I found them in an old storage locker or some shit like that.
Yeah, like, all right, keep them. Episode 2, a.k.a. Freak Accident, you get Simpson is back, who was known as Nuke in the comics, and then he is killed. So
he is killed immediately.
So that is sort of that. Jessica Jones has sex in a stall, so this sort of begins our sex scenes.
Which was just, like, super awkward, too.
Yeah.
Like,
well, then you also had that Hogarth drug orgy was in this episode.
Yeah, that was another one that was really weird.
That was uncomfortable. And at first you're like, ooh, look at all these ladies. Nice. But then you're like, nah, not nice.
And then she starts dancing all weird, and then she takes off her, like... And you know what the worst color in the world is, Richard? I'm going to say this right now.
Canary yellow.
Nude. The color nude is the worst color ever. And you see Hogarth, like, take down her underpants, which are, like, these nude-colored, like, granny panties.
Yeah.
Like, this is, and she's, like, dancing all weird.
I don't like that that psychedelic dance. I don't like it. It's in a lot of movies and TV. Like, I don't like that at all.
And you have, like, all these, like, these trashy-looking women, like, staring at her, like, yeah.
Yeah,
you know what
great.
I mean? I don't know. So fucking weird.
Now, the other thing, you start, this happens throughout the entire season, but Trish's mom calls Trish Patsy, who was the girl that she played growing up. Like, that's insane. Like, she calls her that all the time. She's like, it's Patsy, it's Patsy, it's Patsy. But that's probably a good, like, child star parent type of thing. I bet that happens all the time.
And I found myself saying in this episode, I'm like, is that Rebecca De Mornay? It is.
No,
like, that's
is it?
Rebecca. Yes, it is.
Wow. She's still doing all right.
You shut up when you're talking to me. Shut your mouth when you're talking to me. I was waiting for her to say that.
That would be good. Wizard also has the line in this episode, with great power comes great mental illness. It's a little twist on the Spider-Man one.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah.
Also, Jessica says that Griffin, because he says his balls told him something, and so she goes, what do you have, scroty sense?
Yeah.
There's the humor that we were talking about.
Yeah, let me air this out. So, like, there were some lines that I actually went on Google Keep because I didn't want to lose them, and I was like typing them into my phone as people said them, and they said things like Jessica gets shot in the back and her mother's like looking at her and she goes, it's fine. And then Jessica's mother said, it's a bad plan, and then Jessica says, you're a bad plan.
Nice.
Like, what does that mean?
It's the perfect comeback is what that is.
Yeah, it's like, I won't kill you, but I won't let you stop me. At one point, someone asked, like, why do I give a crap about you people?
Yeah.
They refer to weed as grass.
Yeah, well, someone, people call it grass.
Someone looks at Dr. Malice and says, you sick dirtbag. Like, who says that?
Yeah, it's really weird, like, what they can say, what they can't say, because they say, like, a couple of, like, lesser swears. There's obviously blood and violence, but then they can't go, like, full rated R for some reason.
But they've said, like, shit and asshole in the show. So why are you calling him a sick dirtbag? And here it comes. Ready? I'm going to pull it out of my sleeve. Here come the classics card.
Here we go.
Dr. Malus. His name, M-A-L-U-S, his name is Dr. Bad. In Latin, malice means bad.
Well, so, like, you know what? I think we found our villain then.
Oh, because he has to be. His name's Dr. Bad.
Dr. Bad would have to be the villain.
Like, that's terrible writing. And I know that's a character that's been around for years.
He's been in the game a while. Now, episode 3, a.k.a. Soul Survivor. This was, maybe you can explain this to me. Didn't Griffin, he like took the Wizard video off of Trish's computer, like she like found it, or Jess's computer or something, like, so it was almost like, oh, maybe Griffin eventually was going to become like a bad guy, but he never did. So I'm like, what was the point of that scene then?
There was no point. The thing, there was like they tried to like go down these avenues and then they just kind of like bailed on it.
Yeah, that's what it feels. It seems like the timeline was kind of all over the place too. There were certain things that just didn't
well
really
it seems as though it seems as though these 13 episodes were written in different rooms and they never like talked about it.
Yeah.
Like, there was a basic storyline.
That's true.
Because then storylines came in and... Yeah.
It, episode 4, a.k.a. God Help the Hobo. So Oscar hated Jessica Jones, but then Oscar's kid tried to jump out a window, and Jessica saved him. So now he, like, loves her. And then there, also get the scene from the preview and the anger management scene where Jessica Jones is throwing the ball against the wall. And between that and her running, she, again, proves to be maybe the least athletic-looking person ever on screen.
She's not, because the woman who played her mother is actually worse.
That's a good point. Although, to be fair, they don't have special skills because, like, they were born that way. Like, they got them later on. So it's actually not, like, a terrible casting. Like, it doesn't really matter that she's not athletic-looking, I guess.
Well, it matters in the sense that, like, at least know how to throw a punch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. You think she would learn
like,
by now.
Like, she does, like, this, like, weird, like, underhand, like, almost like an uppercut punch.
Yeah.
That, like, is the least practical thing ever. And let me just bring this up right now, and this might be unpopular. What is, in this show, from what I can tell, like, this is supposed to be a superhero show, but there's, like, nothing superhero about it. And as far as I can tell, in 13 episodes of season 2 of Jessica Jones, her superpower is holding people still. Like, that's what she does.
She can also land, like, jump out of a window and land on her feet.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, her whole thing is, like, when she shows, like, her, that she's a, what is she doing when people realize that she's a superhuman?
Yeah,
she just basically just holds somebody against a wall.
She lifted that refrigerator.
Yeah.
So that was good.
And she stopped a bus, like, by holding it still.
Yeah, she stopped a bus. Get another sex scene in episode 4, Trish and Griffin sex scene. That didn't do it for you?
No.
All right.
No, because at that point I was so annoyed with her that I was like, ugh.
Now, Trish is taking that inhaler, too. She's working on the nukes inhaler. So that was cool. I didn't mind that. But
I did because, like, I asked you. I did you ever figure out, like, what this shit is? And they're like, no. And then at the end of the season, she goes to, like, hands it to, like, a pharmacist. And she's like, what is this? And she's like, I don't know.
And hopefully you didn't take any of that because who knows? It could lead to death.
And, you're like, and she's like, what's the active ingredient in it? She's like, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
You'd have to ask the person who made it. Who made it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, is that not the worst writing in the world?
There was some poor writing in this. Episode 5, Jesus a.k.a. Christ. The Octopus, Griffin proposes to Trish, and her response is, quote, thank you.
Thank you.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Also one of the
most... You know what else is tough? After that episode, you never see that dude again.
No, Griffin was done after that. And, well... Also, that same episode was the Jessica's mom and like the piano. That was some of the most boring shit ever. That was a hard watch, I'll be honest.
Like, at that point, I knew who she was.
Yeah.
And like throwing, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're going to like get rid of evidence, don't throw it in a fire pit in your backyard. You've seen Making a Murderer on the Netflix. You've seen that.
They can
right?
they can figure that out. Yeah,
they can figure that out.
They can. They always can. Episode 6, aka FaceTime. Jessica and Oscar have sex on paint, and Shipped Trish it. And Malcolm also have sex. She's all hopped up on the inhaler. A couple of sex
hopped
scenes
up on
there.
Goofballs.
She is. So that's good. I also thought with the octopus and the stuff like the guy, Malice loves the octopus at the aquarium. Yeah. I immediately went to like Hydra, but I just don't think that there's any connection there. But
you wanted to, and then you're like, oh, wait, that like, oh, that could be a connection. No, it's not. It's another stupid like throwaway writing thing.
Episode 7 was also terrible, a.k.a. I Want Your Cray-Cray, where there's
this
a lot of flashbacks.
Been,
this was terrible.
This might
television.
Have been the worst episode of the season.
This was real bad. The old stuff, Jessica's old boyfriend, you see where she gets her friggin' leather jacket. She loved this guy. Her mom ended up killing that guy. Jessica's I Want Your Cray-Cray, all the stuff in that club. These are some terrible Trish wigs during all the flashbacks. This is just really, really rough stuff.
It just like really, really bad, like off the rails. And again, one of the things that I really liked about the original season of Jessica Jones was that they were strong female characters. You know, they were motivated, some by pain, some by success, some by other things. And, you know, but they were all their own people. And then you realize you boil it down in this season and that basically Jessica and Trish are these like lifelong frenemies who are like, I hate that I just used that fucking word.
Yeah, I could take that out after.
But like they, each of them want what the other one has, so they're kind of like playing each other, and it becomes like really catty and really superficial and really stupid.
Yeah, it's brutal. Episode
and it takes the wind out of everything that this show had built.
It's true. Like, what a brutal, like a sophomore slump and a half. Episode 8, yeah. a.k.a. Ain't We Got Fun. Yeah. So Hogarth meets the healer. I think his name is like Sean Ryback or whatever. And I'm wondering when they're talking about
Jane or Sean. Yeah.
Kind of a fascinating character in the sense that he's just a fake. But because you live in this world, even though they do a terrible job of, you know, letting you know that they do, in fact, live in the world where aliens are, you know, and Loki attacked New York and like all this shit that they're dealing with and all these superheroes like Spider-Man lives in the city, like all these things. Like the idea that somebody could be a healer, plus IGH is like creating these powered people for then somebody to use that and to like dupe people. Like I was like, that's actually a pretty good idea.
It's not, yeah. And the, again, something that should have been explored from the beginning and not just,
yeah.
And we didn't have to wait 8 hours to get there.
No, that's true. Also, Dr. Carl Malice, who you mentioned, Dr. Bad.
Dr. Bad, yeah.
He wears a lot of Doors shirts. Every freaking episode, I feel like he was wearing a shirt by the Doors. I'm like, okay, fine.
And then, speaking of costumes, how is it that the homeless people on this show, Inez specifically, has more costume changes than Jessica Jones? I feel like she wears the same outfit,
she wears one thing.
Two different T-shirts.
Right. That's it. She, well, it's like almost like her uniform, I guess.
She must smell.
Jessica probably does. Yeah, I mean, she's drinking Red Bull and bourbon all day or whatever, whiskey. So, you got another sex scene this episode. Hogarth and Inez have sex. All right, episode 9, a.k.a. Shark in the Bathtub, Monster in the Bed. This is where Trish loses it on air. But that's because she's all hopped up on her stuff. Then the inhaler is empty. You get more of the healer and Hogarth. Oh, we haven't even mentioned the other PI who was there. So that's another kind of who cares.
Oh, Bryce Chang. Yeah, there's another fucking stupid storyline.
That's definitely a who cares. Episode 10, a.k.a. Pork Chop. Trish gets her audition on ZCN. It does not go well. How about this? Jessica Jones tells us for 9 straight hours she's not a killer. So she shows up to a prison guard's house and kills him.
Yeah, and it was right. And I think even after that, her mother says something to her, and she's like, you're just like me. And she goes, I'm not like you. I don't kill people. I have control. Like, you just fucking killed somebody.
So then she goes over there and is like shocked that he ends up coming home, and she kills him. And then she makes it look like a suicide the next episode, where you get Kilgrave. So episode 11 is the best episode, but it also makes you pissed off, as we said before, because there's no more Kilgrave. This is also, Trish is like really obsessed with getting powers. So she's getting Dr. Malice to get her powers. It is pretty wild seeing all those needles that go into her back. Like, that was pretty messed up.
That was pretty messed up, but that's the way, you know, you got to do it.
That's how you get powers. Episode 12, the penultimate episode, a.k.a. Pray for My Patsy. This is sort of like a circular thing. Jess's mom is looking for Trish to kill her. Jessica is then looking for the mom. Hogarth is looking for her stuff after Inez and the healer pawned it all. So she's pissed. How about this? Here's a tie-in to the Netflix universe. Turk gives Hogarth a gun. So that's good.
Yeah, which I thought, I really liked how Hogarth dealt with that. I thought that was pretty clever by turning, because you knew she wasn't going to do it. And Turk even says, like, I didn't expect you to be the person to get her hands dirty. You know what I mean? And she doesn't. She actually, like, turns Inez against Shane or Sean, whatever. Ryback.
That actually, I'm with you. That was great because you're like, oh my God, like, they're not going to have her go kill somebody, are they? Because I'm like, that. But the way the show is going, I was like, maybe they will. And you'd be like, just add that to the list. But no, that was clever. Again, it was a storyline that you didn't really care that much about. But having her do that and then completely lie to her, and then Inez ends up killing. I mean, that happened very quickly. But
and then drive off and call the cops and be like, oh, I heard gunshots.
Yeah. You know? Also in this episode, Trish, when she's in the bed there trying to like get her powers, very similar to Emily Rose, the exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah,
like her back and stuff is all cranked and she looks nuts. All right. Finally, the last episode, it's entitled AKA Playland. This is where Jessica and her mom are on the run. But this is where, I mean, the timeline, and you texted me, you were like, how did Trish know that she was at the theme park? And I'm like, I don't know. And I didn't even bother to go back. Maybe they explain it, but I had no idea. She was there so fast. That was the other thing. Like, you know how some people complained about Game of Thrones, like skipping like time and like distance? I feel like they did that in this show too, where she would call somebody, or like she'd call the cops, and they would show up immediately, and it was like very convenient, some of the stuff.
Yeah, and like I said, I might have missed it, and please tweet at us if we missed it, but like, as far as I knew, Trish was in that bed, and Jessica was having a completely different conversation with the what's his name? Not Cortez, but like the cop that she liked.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
I forget.
And she like wound up like breaking the phone or whatever, and like Trish wasn't anywhere near that conversation.
No, and then she shows up.
And then she just shows up randomly.
Shoots her right in the head, dead, and you're like...
Like dead as, like, hit a moving target from like 50 yards away with a handgun.
Well, so
like,
that...
dead in it.
Yeah, but that I would write off to, all right, she has become Hellcat at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so, all right, maybe her senses are fucking through the roof. And you saw her later on, like when she dropped her phone and like everything kind of froze and she like caught it with her foot and whatever. So I could believe that more than her being there right away. And then also, like, not even trying to figure out the situation. Like, Jess and her mom are just talking to each other and she just like fires a bullet, it's dead. You're like, what? So that was dumb. I did like when the nurse said to Trish, something along the lines of, quote, you've used up two of your nine lives, Ms. Walker. So I'm like, all right, Hellcat's happening. Hellcat's happening. Right. What else? This is, the whole thing in the Ferris wheel I thought was bullshit. Also, Hogarth is wearing white at the end, Ryan, and she was wearing black.
Yeah, I did
and she comments
after
about
there
black
was a big deal
time.
Made out of how she wears black all the time.
Malcolm is now working with Chang and for Hogarth.
Which is bullshit because, like, Price Chang is... been trying to kill you and your boss this entire time, and then you just fucking flip like that. I'm like, all right, no, it's cool. Like everything's cool now.
Yeah, not
great. Squashed it.
And then Jessica ends up with Oscar, much to my chagrin, because I think Jessica in the comics is with Luke Cage and they have a kid, and I think they should be together. I like when they were together on the show, but doesn't look like they're necessarily going to go down that road. So here's the last question I have for you, Ryan, as far as this is concerned. Do you want a Jessica Jones season 3?
I do.
Oh. Really?
I do. I think we need a rubber match at this point because we've had...
That's true. Break the tie.
We've had this handled perfectly, and then we've had it handled terribly. So I want to see, like, meet me somewhere in the middle where you have to at least... Because Jessica Jones only works as, like, this... and I'm not talking about, like, real people. This is make-believe, obviously. But, like, that character... only works if she's, like, fucked up.
Right.
You know what I mean? So to have everything kind of going well for her, you're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to fall. And when she's the most rational character in the show, because she was this entire time.
Yeah.
Like, she was the one who was, like, you know, the voice of reason, which shouldn't be the case. Like, she should be the one going off the rails, and other people are trying to, like, rein her in.
Right, like, you know? She's sort of the loose unit when it comes to the Defenders. But then when she's away from the Defenders, now she's playing, like, the Daredevil role, and you're like, that doesn't make sense.
And but she, like, the whole time, like, she, like, talked tough, but, like, didn't do anything.
Yeah. I don't know. There has not been any kind of announcement yet if there will be a third episode, I'm sorry, a third season, but we will see. There also is no word on the Defenders. The only thing we have set in stone... is Luke Cage season 2 is out this June. Daredevil season 3 is expected to be out later this calendar year. Iron Fist 2 and Punisher 2 are both filming.
Okay, so here's what I would like. All right, I would like all of these, and I know this is going to be a logistical nightmare, and people who know more about these things can tell me how this works. I want all of these to film and overlap a little bit in terms of their filming.
So yeah,
I
need
cameos. Film scenes.
I need cameos
with other people.
Yes.
I need to see them working together. Like I need because you can't. You're not on an island. You know what I mean? Like, how does Jessica Jones go through 13 hours, and the only thing we get is Hogarth who connects everybody and 30 seconds of Foggy Nelson?
Well, what you also need is when shit starts to hit the fan, you need a reason for why the other person can't help them. Like. They've kind of run into that, I feel like, with like Arrow and The Flash. And like that's obviously a little bit more cartoony than the Netflix stuff. But the DC on CW shows, sometimes they have like a reason why they can't like work together. Then other times they do work together. Like it's kind of these shared universes are great ideas, but the execution at times can be just rough. Because you're like, if Jessica Jones is so worried about something, why wouldn't you go find Luke Cage and have him help you? Like why wouldn't you go find Iron Fist?
Why wouldn't, if they're happening, like they happen all in a very small area, And Daredevil is that person who's listening to, like, police scanners and knows when things are going down.
Right.
You know, wouldn't it make sense to, like, look across the way and see somebody else? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
Jessica Jones coming from one direction, Daredevil's coming from another direction, and they kind of, like, stop and, like, look at each other and then jump in and go through the whole thing and then talk about it after.
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Because we've looked at it on a map, on the Google map, and Hell's Kitchen is, like, 2 square miles.
Right. I mean,
like, how do you not cross over?
We got to figure something out here. So,
yeah.
All right. Anything lastly on Jessica Jones season 2? Which, I don't think we gave Infinity Stone scores. I would probably go 3.
I'd say through 3.
That might be high even, but
it's high. I would say it's soft 3, 2.5 or 2. Hard 2.5, as I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I got to start. We're doing halves. I got to start grading more severe. So I think maybe it is a 2.5 because, like, I wouldn't recommend this to somebody. Like,
no.
You know. So all right.
And you think of, like, some of the things we've given a 3 before, which are
better.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get going here.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Pick of the bomb.
Would you like to kick, receive, defer, defend a goal?
I've been kicking and deferring a lot, so I'll receive
this
week. So I read this news story and actually saw the subsequent movie trailer. But this news story has been around for like 3 years now. Apparently, Richard, there are this group of 10 friends who are all in their like 40s and 50s maybe, who have been playing the same game of tag for like 25 to 30 years.
What?
Yeah, and for 1 month a year, like, they play tag. And the person who's it last is it for the entire year. And they've been doing it for 25 to 30 years.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, they're making a movie about these people, and it's starring Jeremy Renner, John Hamm, Hannibal Buress, Ed Helms, and the guy who plays Nick from New Girl. And they're like the group of friends, and it's called Tag. And the trailer just came out recently. I watched it; it actually looks pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's based on this. So what I'm going to do is I'll tweet out the link to the story and the link to the movie trailer, so you can see it. But it actually, that's my pick of the pod this week.
Well, so my pick of the pod actually is not really a pick of the pod. I've not seen it. I have a new record for I don't know. What the percentages of TV and movies that you and your wife would watch together? Like, for me, it's not super high. Like, we have Game of Thrones. Like, we used to have, like, Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad. Like, there's not a ton of overlap. And same thing with movies. Like, we'll both be around and be like, hey, you want to watch a movie? She'll say, sure. Then I'll be like, you want to watch a horror movie? She says, no. I'm like, you want to watch a dumb comedy? She says, no. She's like, do you want to watch, like, a documentary? I'm like, no. So, like, we have a hard time. We usually end up just watching, like, stand-up specials. So, but this...
We do watch a lot of stand-up specials, actually.
Isn't that, like, where you end up going, probably? Because that's something I think we can both agree on, or at least most couples maybe can agree on. We have a new record for a movie that my wife bagged out of as far as time is concerned. It was the movie Wind River is on Netflix now.
Oh, no way. I love that movie.
I've never seen it. Now, to be fair to her, she wasn't super jazzed up about watching a movie, but I was like, hey, do you want to start something? She said, sure. And she made it through 3 minutes. 3 minutes of Wind River and said, yeah, I think I'm going to go to bed. I was like, my God.
Was it the crime scene?
No, all we saw was the goddamn Jeremy Renner protecting sheep. That's all we saw.
That's it?
Yeah, he shot like a wolf, which I was not really thrilled with. And I was like, ugh, this is not a great start.
Well, it was a coyote, and the coyote was going after the sheep.
It was a coyote. He was going after the sheep. There was a few of them, and then he dragged the body. Well, I was like, I'm not wild about this. But then, so she goes to bed, and then, so I had the option of finishing the movie on my own. But at that point, I still needed to watch like 5 episodes of Jessica Jones, so I bailed on it. So I have not seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things. Yeah.
It's really good. It's like one of those, like...
And so it's on Netflix now for people who have missed it, who have not seen it.
And you see Elizabeth Olsen's bum-bum.
Yeah, I'm not really... So it's Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch, huh?
Yep. And you see her bum-bum.
All right, well, that's not appropriate, I don't think, Ryan.
Well, it's in the movie. I didn't do it.
Oh, all right. Well, fair enough. Maybe I'll rush home and watch it then.
Yeah.
All right, that is going to do it for us here on this episode of Hashtag Dork. You can subscribe, rate and review on the iTunes. Thank you for all the reviews. Continue to review us. Well, if you have not reviewed us, please do that. That'd be awesome. At Dork Podcast on the Twitter, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. And if you want to just holler at Ryan, you can.
At Arvon D or on any major social media networks, including Twitch. Which I will be hopefully getting up and going tonight, but you probably won't hear that until whatever, but that's fine.
Go back and watch last night's Twitch stream of the Triforce.
You could.
Yeah.
And, you know, sorry for the, you know, kind of negative podcast, but they can't all be winners. They can't all be good.
No, that's true. I think it would be worse if you looked at it and be like, oh, here are all their reviews and they love everything. Then it'd be kind of, how do you know what's good? So
right.
Jessica Jones was not great. But you know what is great is our big-time announcement, which is April 22nd, 4 p.m. at Idle Hands, a live taping of Hashtag Dork featuring Mac and Goo, the Boxers, and Uncle Buck. So hopefully you're able to go to that, and we will talk to you later. Okay, thank you. I don't know what we're doing next week yet, but I have some ideas. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
All right. Thank you.
God bless.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.